welcome you to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is reviewing CCL's primary and supporting asks. To get us through our training tonight is none other than our esteemed Vice President of Government Affairs, Dr. Danny Richter. Dr. Richter joined CCL staff in 2013 after 5 years as a volunteer, completing his PhD. You might not know this, a fun fact, he did scientific research on all seven continents. He established our DC office and has been responsible since in developing CCL's legislative strategy, clarifying the details of the Energy Innovation Act, and interacting with other groups in DC. He also oversees CCL's research program and leads all of the studies that we've generated, including the REMI report, the House Impact Study, and the Dividend Delivery Study. And we are so honored to have you join us tonight and really walk us through tonight's the training on how to use this year's primary and supporting asks. The floor is yours, and thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much, Brett, and thank you everybody for joining me on this call. Brett mentioned those seven continents, and I told a fun little anecdote on Friday. We've been doing those staff happy hour hangouts, so I told about the time that I wore a dressed up like a penguin in Antarctica, and I confessed something that still haunts me today with respect to a ping pong ball, but. Just have to tell you all the rest of that later. Anyway, our agenda for tonight is pretty straightforward. I'm going to give you the current congressional context in this very strange time. I'm going to talk about our primary asks. I'm going to talk about our supporting asks. So first of all, the context. Being cognizant that for many of you, this is your first lobby day of any type. It's our first virtual lobby day for everybody. But for some of us, it's our fifth or our sixth lobby day. Some of us have been around even more than that. But regardless, I want to start with what is the primary ask? What is the definition there? What is the supporting ask? And I do want to cover how the pandemic is affecting the political context that we're all working in. So first of all, let's get to those definitions. And the definition of a primary ask that we're using is this is the thing the whole organization is pulling for. If it isn't the main focus of your meeting, it should at least be in the subtext. So this is the primary ask. We're all moving in this direction together. And for us, a supporting ask is an ask that supports the campaign for our main ask. All of our supporting asks, we've got three this year, three official ones, are bipartisan. They are complementary to the primary ask, meaning that they aren't doing something the main ask already does, and they make sense in the current pandemic. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about primary asks and supporting asks. And let's get to that context. The main thing here is that COVID is demanding the attention of Congress, and so we have to be sensible to that. So some important questions. Is Congress ready to talk about climate again? We know from what we've heard from individual meetings that you all have been having in the field since the crisis began, that individual members are, not all of them, but there are many individual members who are ready to talk with their constituents about climate. That's encouraging. But I would say that the body as a whole, Congress as a whole, is not ready to consider this. And I think the biggest sign here is the Select Committee on the Climate Crisis in the House. They had a report out which was due in March, and it still hasn't come out yet. It is due, I think, later in the summer. And to me, I take that as a sign that even Speaker Pelosi is not really wanting to address climate with Congress as a whole. And some of the things that might be influencing that decision are the fact that Congress is still figuring out some very basic things like how to vote, should they vote, is remote voting okay, and they're trying to figure out how do we debate. So with Congress trying to figure out such fundamental things, there really are some fundamental challenges that are distracting from attention. So then there's another question of, are members able to hear from constituents? And when this first happened, no, they were not. And we put the brakes on our calling campaign. But where we are now, by and large, yes. We have heard that members of Congress are able to hear field calls, get emails, and respond to their constituents on a variety of issues. There are still some who are not, but it's always important to remember that members of Congress are many things. They vote, they campaign, they fundraise, they talk to people, and they are managers. And some members of Congress are not the best managers of their office. And so for those who where this is not necessarily their forte, they haven't figured out how to get their staff into a place where they can be responsive in a timely fashion to their constituents. So just remember, members of Congress are many things, and all of them are human. And the punchline here is that it is our very strong sense that in order to be relevant, we need to meet legislators where they're at. And where legislators are at right now is responding to the pandemic. We have 40 million people, Americans, in the last, since the pandemic began, who have lost their jobs. Unemployment is a huge concern. We have over 100,000 Americans who have died as a result of this pandemic. And this is at the top of mind for every American legislator. And if we go in and we don't acknowledge that, we are not being sensitive to the world they're living in. We are not being responsive. We are starting off not listening. And so we don't want to do that. And so that is why that really informs also our primary asks. And so this is the first time really where we have two primary asks, where the primary asks are actually two different bills. And so where to find the primary ask sheets, it's on Community. So if you go to Community, go to the Resources and Training tab, it's highlighted in green in the upper left-hand corner. And then you go down to under Resources to the primary ask in parentheses leave behind. That's where you can find the two primary ask sheets that I'm going to be referring to in this part of the presentation. Normally, of course, in DC, you would all have this in your folder, and I just say pull it out. But this is one of the ways we're adapting to a virtual lobby day. So this is where you can find it on CCL Community. And our two primary asks are the Reclaim Act and, of course, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. I'm going to start with Reclaim because this is new. We've been internally thinking about this as our quote-unquote COVID-sensitive ask, recognizing that a lot of your members of Congress are not going to be able to get past COVID. That has to be where their attention is at. They're not thinking about climate, Democrats and Republicans. We wanted to give you the choice of a COVID-sensitive ask so that you can still move things forward and be productive, maintain your relationship and show that you're good at listening with this Reclaim Act ask. Or you can, if you're reading the room and you think that it's okay to go with the Energy Innovation Act, you can also do that. We are, as ever, trusting you to figure out the best way to move forward with your member of Congress. I want to give a little bit of background on both of these. So the Reclaim Act, revitalizing the economy of coal communities by leveraging local activities and investing more act. A little bit of history. So this started off as a volunteer initiative, just to underline the point that CCL is still a volunteer-led organization. Our best ideas still come from the volunteers. Our Coal Country Action Team took me at our word. Every year I do this presentation, I'll say it again tonight, and I will say, we trust you, and if you want to come up with your own supporting ask, you can. Coal Country Action Team found the Reclaim Act on their own, and they used it in their meetings with members of Congress, and it was improving their relationships. It was enabling them to get further than they ever had before. And we do our best to listen as well. So we were listening to that success. And I think a couple of years ago, we went ahead and took one of the great ideas of our volunteers and we made this a supporting ask. So this has been a supporting ask for a couple of years. And it's a supporting ask that we think really fits the moment. And so now it is a primary ask. And we do have our volunteers in our Coal Country Action Team to thank for that. So thank you guys for being innovative. I also want to give a little bit of history for the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. This is the third lobby day in which we are have the opportunity to lobby on this. It was actually introduced in the last Congress. And so I think a lot of people perhaps forget this, or for new people didn't realize this is the history, but this was introduced in the previous Congress. It was introduced as HR 7173, 3 weeks after the 2018 midterm election, introduced with three Democrats, two Republicans, and it picked up a third Republican 2 days later. It was introduced on a Tuesday, on 3 weeks later, literally the last day of the session, a companion bill was introduced in the Senate, S-3791, which was introduced by Democratic and Republican senators. So I like to remember that history because it shows just how quickly things can happen sometimes. Now, Brett, you can go to the next slide. Thank you. So this is the primary ask for the Reclaim Act. And this primary ask has four main parts. It's got the ask, which is to co-sponsor the Reclaim Act. And then below that, there's an introduction that ties this ask in with the current moment and connects it with our values. Then it has a discussion of what it actually does, what the Reclaim Act actually does. And there's a short conclusion and contact info. So that is what this does. I want to talk a little bit more about some of the details. First, I want to give you some context where this bill is at in Congress. And so in this Congress, H.R. 2156, the Reclaim Act, has 66 co-sponsors. This includes 15 Republicans, 51 Democrats. It has been referred to, marked up by, and reported out of the House Natural Resources Committee. This is the only committee that it has been referred to. And the Senate version of this has seven co-sponsors, all of whom are Democrats, though in a previous Congress, a Reclaim Act version of that bill that was very similar to this version was introduced by Mitch McConnell. So I know that in the Senate, there are details, but the substance of the McConnell version was very similar to the substance of this version, which is in this Congress. And so this has had bipartisan support in the past. And the Senate version has been referred to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. So that's the status of this bill currently in Congress. And why does this make sense in the pandemic? Well, this bill is really geared towards helping communities that had economic challenges even before the pandemic. With nearly 20% of the workforce unemployed in just a couple of months, creating jobs is at the forefront of every legislator's mind. And jobs and rebuilding better is what we lead with in this bill. That's what's in the introduction. And that's really the promise of this bill. That's, I think, what our volunteers saw in this bill when they originally picked this out as a supporting ask that they wanted to pursue. Some details of the bill. What it does is it makes $200 million available without further appropriation for each of the fiscal years 2020 to 2024. So that is $1 billion total. That $200 million each year must be cited in a community that has been adversely affected economically by a recent reduction in coal mining related activity, or in a community that has historically relied on coal mining for a substantial portion of its economy and in which the economic contribution coal mining has significantly declined. And the bill includes demonstrations of desired conditions for economic development, appropriate stakeholder collaboration, and eligible partners for the project. It is actually a relatively short bill. I think it's 6 or 7 pages. You can read it. This is the meat of it. A lot of the other language is going through all the details of this. It's linking it to other legislation that it's related to, and it's spelling out in particular the conditions for collaboration, economic development, eligible partners for the projects. I would encourage you all to read the bill. If you're going to make this your supporting it, your main ask, you're probably all to read the bill because it's not that big. But this is, I think you'll agree after you read it, this is the meat of it. This is what you're going to be wanting to talk about with your members of Congress. And the next thing that I want to talk about is why we chose this. Because again, this is different. And number one, we chose this because we listened to our volunteers, as I mentioned. But there's also a suspicion that climate activists, such as ourselves, don't really care about people left behind by the economic shifts required to get to a livable world. And this is where we show that this just isn't true. It was our volunteers who live in these communities, who are constituents of the members of Congress who represent these communities, who found this and who made the case for this, and we listen to them. They are working with us together in this organization, and we are not in this to steamroll an agenda. We are in this because we want to create a livable world for the people who live on it. There is also a chance that this does get over the line this year, which is exciting. And if we can be a part of that success and making this one of our two primary asks definitely puts us in that category, it demonstrates CCL's power. So being able to see a substantial number of co-sponsors on this after our lobby day, that would be a substantial demonstration of power. Demonstrations of power lead to clout, which makes things easier when we get to something closer to normal. Who knows what that's going to look like after the pandemic. So this is a good bill for us to pick. This is why, these are the thoughts that led us to choose this bill. And then, of course, there's the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. And this has five main parts to this primary ask, leave behind. Support the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. There's an introduction. We have Support is Building, talking about all the organizations who are supporting this. We have a discussion of what's in the bill, what it does, which would be very familiar at this point, and then again the contact info. So let's check in on where this bill is at. Right now, HR 763 has 81 co-sponsors. This includes 80 Democrats, one Republican, and it has been referred to three committees: Ways and Means, Energy and Commerce, and Foreign Affairs. And I want to talk a little bit about that main ask, which says support. So what does that mean when we say support? So what about representatives who aren't co-sponsors in the House? Well, they can support it by becoming co-sponsors. So that one's pretty easy. What about representatives who are co-sponsors? How can they support this? Well, they can talk about it in public, talk about why they support it and why they're excited to support it. And they can talk to their members of Congress and try and get them to be co-sponsors. So those are two ways that representatives who are already co-sponsors can support this bill. Now, what about senators where currently there isn't any bill? Well, what senators can do is they can go to Senator Chris Coons from Delaware and they can say, when this is reintroduced, I'm interested in being a part of this. And for those senators, because that could happen very quickly, I would really prepare a lot of open-ended questions. Invite them into the solution space. Amy has been great at training us on open-ended questions for a long time. Lean in on those open-ended questions. And since this isn't introduced yet, get them thinking, how would you design this? What would you want to see? What would you want the substance of your conversation with Chris Coons to be? As you're trying to get this in there, and that's going to give you insights into what their thinking is at. That's going to make you better able to address their concerns for the next meeting, and it's going to get them hopefully to a space of higher engagement with this bill. So that's what I mean by support. Now, why is this relevant to the pandemic? Well, of course, the climate crisis hasn't gone away. Emissions continue to climb. We're continuing to see effects, and we still need to address this. So that's really important. This will support low-income jobs for families, and low-income families, and create jobs. And we saw this. This is newly relevant with the cashback rebates that we saw as a result of I forget whether it was the third or the fourth. I think it was the fourth COVID relief package. And I just want to highlight that dividends were the number one topic that came up last June. So when we were bringing up the Energy Innovation Act last June, dividends was the number one thing that members of Congress and their staff were bringing up with us. Everyone has recent experience with dividends. And with this bill, assuming that people have liked those cashback rebates, with this bill, those are actually paid for. unlike the current situation. So that may be an interesting way to engage in this conversation and to make this relevant to the current moment that we're in. As I said, one of the sections on there is that support is building. And this is really important. Dividend was the number one thing that came up. Endorsers was the number three thing that came up. So when we're talking about the endorsements that we have, and we have a from the energyandinnovationact.org website, the endorsements, I would also recommend the statements of support page on that website. Support has built a ton for this bill since it was first introduced. The co-sponsor list includes members of Ways and Means Committee, 6 members, Energy and Commerce, 6 members who are co-sponsors, and Foreign Affairs, 15. So a lot of co-sponsors on the bill, on these committees of jurisdiction. That's really important in signaling that this could do well in these committees. We have over 1,500 endorsements for the bill specifically. 3,500 plus economists have endorsed principles that are non-specific. They're not directly for this bill, but they are general enough that they include this bill. That's an important thing. And we have notable statements of support from Child Unlimited, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and the Silicon Valley Leadership Group, among others. And here again is that website where you can find those statement of supports. And, you know, we all live and breathe this stuff, so we sometimes forget that the fact that we have grown to over 180,000 supporters is really, really significant. And you guys are active. I mean, we've got 636 people on this call right now. We had over 2,500 for our Earth Day event. And I'm really hoping that we can get a ton for this this virtual conference. That really shows our power. Very, very few, if any, environmental organizations are able to get that kind of turnout, that kind of engagement from wonderful people like you all around the country. And that matters. For reference as to why that matters, when I first started this job 7 years ago, CCL had between 2,000 and 3,000 supporters. So to go from between 2,000 to 3,000 supporters to over 180,000 supporters in 7 years, that's a bit bonkers. And you should be sure to highlight that with your members of Congress. And then what's the substance of this? As you read through this, you'll notice it's higher level. We took out some of the details in part to fit onto one page, but in part because we think that can be another interesting space for asking those open-ended questions and getting into the solution space. So that high level, I mean, the carbon fee creates market-driven demand for cleaner energy technologies, reduces U.S. carbon emissions by correcting market distortions. So you can go into a Republican office and say, do you think that markets can address the problem of climate change? Yes, I think it can address the problem of climate change. Well, how might a market do that? And you can engage them in an open-ended conversation that way and bring elements like this. And we hope that this framing will help you do that. And then the last part of this is just the contact info. And so now that brings us to the three supporting us. Those are the Use It Act, the BEST Act, and the Climate Ready Fisheries Act. Again, I want to show you where to find these. And so here again, we're at resources and training. Instead of going to primary asks, we're going to supporting asks. This is and so you can find all the stuff you need right there. The document is right there. And what we've included for each of these supporting asks, here's the document. This is what it looks like. But we've included different things for each of these things to help guide you through. And so what we've included the title of the bill at the top. And then in parentheses, whether it is in the House or the Senate, we give a basic overview. Then we have a bill summary, which is the content of the bill, how it complements the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, and why it makes sense during COVID. And so this is the section right here, which Brett is showing you. This is the basic overview, the stats. I'm not gonna go through all these parts. The only thing that I'm gonna go through is the part that's totally new and that I think you should really lead with in all your meetings is why this makes sense because during COVID, because again, we're trying to meet members of Congress where they're at. Why might you choose a supporting ask? Well, you might choose a supporting ask because your member of Congress is already a co-sponsor on our two primary asks. That might be a reason you choose a supporting ask instead. And as this is the third lobby day since HR 763 was introduced, many of you will already know very well what your member of Congress thinks of this bill. And you may want to make a supporting ask to keep the relationship fresh, to throw a different angle at them. You may feel like these are more appropriate in this current context. And that's fine. Again, we trust you. It's up to you. Have discussions within your group and make sure that this makes sense. And then plan that. If you are making the supporting asks, make sure that the subtext is they know that you still want to see the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act go forward. And I will say, I forgot to mention this earlier, there is more than one Energy Innovation Act out there. And so make sure you give the bill number, HR 763. So give the full title, Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act, and also include the bill number, HR 763. So they don't confuse this with another Energy Innovation Act. All right, so let's go through these three supporting asks, why they make sense during COVID. So the USAID Act, why does this make sense with COVID? With the current economic downturn, it is more important than ever to create new jobs in the U.S. The USAID Act will create new jobs in carbon capture, utilization, and sequestration through competitive prize funding and research and development. Though unemployment in clean energy is three times that of fossil fuels, recent COVID-related job losses have been significant, and this critical and emerging industry needs support. So this is how we link it to COVID. Again, we have all the other information about the USAID Act on there, the full title, bill sponsors. We've got a one-page leave behind there as well, how this relates to the Energy Innovation Act. So it is all there. I'm just focusing on this last part. Why it makes sense during COVID. So the next supporting ask that we have is the Climate Ready Fisheries Act. And the reason this makes sense during COVID is that this bill shows promise to move this Congress, which is exciting, as the language has already been added as an amendment to a larger Senate package. Fishery jobs that are already being affected by COVID will be hit even harder by climate change, double whammy. This bill serves to protect those jobs and the communities that surround them by conducting a report to bring valuable information on how to make fisheries climate ready. And then the last supporting ask that we have is the BEST Act. And this makes sense during COVID. There are 85,000 energy storage jobs in the United States comprising construction, manufacturing, and transportation. And this segment was growing rapidly before COVID. With the current economic downturn, it is more important than ever to be able to provide Americans with affordable, reliable energy. There's another statistic in the explanation that I ellipsed here so it could fit on the page and was big enough so you could all see it. Because renewable energy generates 2 to 3 times the number of jobs that fossil fuel energy does, this would support job growth during the COVID recovery. And of course, the theme that runs through all these supporting asks and both the primary asks is jobs. And again, we're looking at the 40 million jobs that have been lost since this horrible pandemic started. So that is, those are the asks, those are supporting asks. And
first and foremost, thank you so much for your just thorough and incredibly in-depth review of what we're really highlighting in terms of both the supporting and primary asks. With that though, if anyone has any questions after tonight, feel free to pose them in the lobbying forums. That short link is available here on the slide. You can also email me. I'll try to steer your question in the right direction. And with that, I'm just going to stop sharing so that we can see each other's screens. And we are just so grateful for all of you making time and all 500 of you still being on the line 1 hour later. It was a wild ride, Danny. We're so grateful for all of the information that you were able to fit into one 60-minute period. And if there's anything that we can do for you between now and your lobby days, please feel free to reach out. We want to set you up for success, and we really can't wait to hear all about all of your experiences.
Bye.
Hey, everyone.
You're awesomely prepared.
Awesome. Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram @CitizensClimate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.